You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. 32 trillion gallons, that's the estimated amount of rain and snow that came down on California in a three-week span from a series of nine atmospheric rivers in December and January. Now, to put that in perspective, that amount is just shy of Lake Tahoe, one of the deepest lakes in North America, which has, on average, about 37 trillion gallons of water. But these storms were also destructive and deadly, claiming the lives of at least 20 people, and the estimated cost is likely to end up being in billions of dollars. And new research is revealing these storms will likely become larger and drop even more rain than what we experienced so far this winter. So joining us to discuss what this means for Californians and how we can prepare for more of these intense storms is Dr. Ruby Leung, an atmospheric scientist at the Pacific Northwest National Laboratory in Washington State. Dr. Leung, welcome to Insight. Good morning.
Hello, good morning. Thank you for having me here.
Thank you for making the time. It is a very topical conversation to have, given everything that we have went through in the first few weeks of the year. You know, tell us more about first the laboratory, the Pacific Northwest National Laboratory, and the research that you and your colleagues do.
Yes. So my name is Ruby Leung, first of all, and I am a climate scientist at the Department of Energy's Pacific Northwest National Laboratory, and we are located in Washington State. I work with my colleagues, and we, as a climate scientist, we like to study how climate change may be affecting the weather. We use computer models. We use data to study climate change. But particularly for me, I'm very interested in understanding how climate change may be affecting extreme weather events like hurricanes, atmospheric rivers, thunderstorms in general. Right? So these extreme weather events are really important because they often produce very strong winds, sometimes damaging winds, but also importantly, they produce heavy precipitation that can cause flooding.
Right. And the research that you do also involves a lot of collaborations. I mean, you organize workshops sponsored by the Department of Energy, the National Science Foundation, NOAA, even NASA. You know, talk to us about the conversations that you're having on this larger federal level when it comes to preparing for a future of climate extremes.
Yes, climate change, as we know, is already happening, and we expect climate change to happen in the future. And so this is a really big challenge that requires not just individuals to be working on the problem. So we work with collaboratively across many government agencies, working with many scientists in the community. We build the tools that we need in order to project how the future may look like. And so this is why we often organize workshops, we have meetings, and we collaborate on developing tools and things like that.
Given that this research that you recently conducted, it suggests that powerful winter storms impacting California, they're only becoming wetter and larger. Can you put into context how much larger and wetter future storms could be compared to the series of very powerful storms that we just experienced this month?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So as I said, we use computer models to project the future, right? So our simulations in particular, we go to very high resolution so that we can look at storms particularly. So we count the storms and we look at how they look like, how big they are, and that's how we can summarize how the storms will be changing in the future. So what we found, we particularly looking at the western United States where most of our storms are coming in the winter, right? So most of our precipitation come during the December, January, February. And so what we found is that overall, per storm, on average, we see that the precipitation amount will be increasing by about 30%. And this increase of the 30% in the precipitation amount comes from two factors. Number one, the storm will become bigger. And on average, we find that the storm area will be increasing by about 22%. But also importantly, not only that the storms are getting bigger, they are also producing more intense precipitation. On average, we see that the precipitation will increase by 9% in terms of the intensity. But very interestingly, what we found in this study is that the precipitation increase is not uniform within the storm. What will happen in the future is that usually we see that the storm produce more precipitation near the center of the storm, and this is where we see even much larger increase of precipitation in the future. So near the center of the storm, we find that the precipitation will increase by about 19%, 19 to 20%. So this is what we call the storm will be sharpening. So by that, we mean that not only the area will increase, but the precipitation will be more concentrated towards the center of the storm, which can cause a lot of problems from both perspective of larger area and more concentrated precipitation.
Given that you are looking at, more broadly, the Western United States, where does California stand in this in terms of the intensity of these storms?
Yeah, so when we look at the Western United States, we look separately in three different regions: the Pacific Northwest, including like Washington State and Oregon, and then we look at California particularly, and also look at the Southwestern United States. What we see very interesting is that California is the place where you see you often get more precipitation, winter precipitation than other states. And then looking at the future, the sharpening is even more in California compared to other states, meaning that the precipitation produced by the storms will be even more concentrated towards the center compared to the Pacific Northwest or the southwestern United States.
Why is that?
Yeah, partly the reason is that California has a very interesting geography, right? So we all know Sierra Nevada Mountain. So this mountain is really squeezing out a lot of water vapor from the atmosphere. And so often we see a lot of precipitation when the storms arrive, and then they produce precipitation because of the mountain. And Sierra Nevada is very narrow, and so it causes very sharp rising air, and therefore the storms are more sharper. And in the future, because we often talk about like global warming, and this is in terms of temperature. But what is important to know is that with warmer temperature, you also get more moisture in the atmosphere, just like when you go to the tropics, you feel like, oh, this is really moist. So same way in under global warming in the future, we expect more moisture, and therefore it will dump more precipitation and more concentrated because of the narrow mountain.
As opposed to historically relying on a snowpack, correct?
Yes, yeah, historically we all rely on the snowpack to give us the water supply, and not only in the winter time, but when the snowpack melt in the spring and in the summer, that's when we can also get the water to irrigate our crops in the summer. So in the future, the two po big problem is that number one, not only that we would expect the precipitation to increase and more concentrated near the center, but because of the warmer temperature, the precipitation will be more like rain rather than accumulate in this in the mountain like snowpack. So we would probably be getting less snowpack that would produce the water that we need in the summertime.
I would imagine then that leads to water managers having conversations about how to adjust to this new normal for managing higher levels of forecasted precipitation as opposed to historically relying on snowpack, which melts in the drier months.
Exactly, yes, because this is like double whammy, right? Number one, during the winter time when you have a lot of precipitation, they become more intense, causing flooding because they are not falling as snowfall, right? And then the second problem is that because they are falling more as rain rather than snow, and you don't get enough snowpack for melting to provide the water in the summer. So this is really difficult for water managers. Like, how do you manage flood in the wintertime and then not enough water in the summertime?
Right. Given that we're having this conversation as we have a very healthy snowpack in the Sierra, you also have research into the conditions that create a healthy snowpack in Northern California. What are the ideal factors?
Yeah, the ideal factor for creating a good snowpack is, of course, we need to have precipitation, right? But also the temperature is important, because if the precipitation comes in with warmer temperature, then they would basically be rainfall, and the water will go to the river more immediately. So you need both factor, precipitation and temperature.
Given that you have researched climate variability along with climate extremes, you know, for years, how has your research evolved and even become perhaps even more challenged throughout your career or interesting?
Yeah, well, I would say, yeah, both more challenging and more interesting. Yeah, because when we look at climate change, now we have the ability to use what we call climate models, which are computer models that we use to project how the future look like. We are fortunate that we have now bigger and bigger computers. So we are able to run these climate models at higher and higher resolution so that we can actually look at thunderstorms, not just like looking at smear out kind of precipitation, right? So that gets interesting because this allows us to look at how thunderstorms may be changing in terms of the different characteristics like the size, the intensity, and where the thunderstorm will happen and all of these. So that's the interesting part. But of course, it's also very challenging because even if we have big computers now, we often say it's still not big enough because we wanted our climate models to be able to get to higher and higher resolution so that we can provide even more specific information or more local information that stakeholders can make use of. Like, for example, when we were talking about water resource managers, they definitely wanted to know more specific information about their own watershed, right? So we often want to get even bigger computers so that we can better resolve these thunderstorms.
When it comes to water managers, how do you hope this research and other just advances in climate modeling, you know, bigger and bigger technology to forecast, will actually help improve and may help improve and help those who design and really maintain water infrastructure in California?
Yeah, so this really also depends on the communication, right? So even if we have big computers, we can run a lot of these climate projections of the future. The important part is we need to work with the water managers to understand what better information we can provide, as well as for the water managers to understand how they might better make use of the information that we can provide. So I think the two-way streets between scientists and stakeholders such as water managers is really important.
We're talking about this within the bigger conversation of global warming as well as climate change, but are there other factors that are contributing to these forecasted more intense storms that isn't kind of rising to the top of the conversation that you think needs to be discussed more?
Yes. Well, first of all, I have to emphasize that, yes, global warming is one of the biggest factor because global warming affect everyone and everywhere. It's not like only in California or any particular location. But also, as you said, besides global warming or climate change, there are also other factors like, for example, land use change. You know, when we cut off the tree and also turn certain forest area into cropland area. So all these changes can, and also urbanization as well, right? So when we have more urban areas, that can also cause changes like the temperature, more heat. So all of these factors we do consider when we look at the future.
Yeah. I mean, we have also witnessed, you know, some of the most deadly and destructive wildfires in recent years as well. And we're talking about powerful winter storms, but we also have drought conditions across the state for several years and counting. What impact will these climate changes, you know, these more concentrated storms and precipitation and warmer systems have on the state's drought conditions as well as the threat of wildfires?
Yeah, so even though we are talking about storms getting wetter, producing more precipitation, then one might think, maybe this is good, right? So then we have more moist condition and we may not have as many wildfires in the future. But unfortunately, I also mentioned that if the storms are producing more rain rather than snow, and so you don't have enough snowpack in the mountain to melt for the water in the summer. So essentially, the summer can still be very warm and dry in the future. And so this doesn't really help us very much in terms of wildfires. In fact, we also perform research and use our climate models to project how wildfires will change in the future. And unfortunately, we are also seeing that climate change will most likely be increasing wildfires in the future because of the warmer temperature, increasing the evaporation of moisture from the land, and therefore causing drier conditions.
Are there other impacts that these storms could have on California, impacts that may be overlooked or not talked about enough?
Definitely storms, number one, big important factor, wildfires, drought. I mean, you already mentioned that. So I think these are the three biggest factors, but also, of course, temperature, right? I mean, when we talk about global warming, it's always about temperature. And so potentially heat wave or extreme temperature can also become an important factor, especially in urban location.
Yeah, given that we're talking about challenges and threats that powerful storms can pose, and a lot of people have endured that just this month alone, is there a silver lining to all of this?
I would say that when we look at the future, we have to use scenarios, right? So we will have to assume like, okay, in the future, we have these greenhouse gases increasing, but there are these scenarios, and we do use a scenario that is assuming more emission of greenhouse gases, what we call business as usual scenario, like we would be using similar energy technology and things like that. But the silver lining is that the changes that we are talking about for the weather storms, it really depends on the temperature in the future. So the question is, can we limit the warming in the future, right? So there are ways that we can limit that by reducing the emissions of greenhouse gases. So I would say that a silver lining is that there's something we can do about it, because the weather storms really depends on how much warming we are going to experience in the future.
Yeah, and you also note in your research that these findings, they arrive at a time when the world is struggling to keep its goal that was set at the 2015 Paris Agreement, and that is, as we were just talking about, to limit global warming to less than 2 degrees Celsius compared to pre-industrial levels. And with each degree increase brings with it the likelihood of more extreme weather. So what gives you hope that global warming can be slowed?
Definitely, we need international cooperation, right? Because this is global warming, so all the emissions count. Because unfortunately, for greenhouse gases, they have very long lifetime. So once we emit the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, it lasts for a long time. So cumulatively, as well as integrating over the whole world, so every part count. So I still have hope that international cooperation to reduce emissions, every reduction matters.
Yeah. Given that we're talking specifically about the West Coast and we're honing in on California, looking across the country, are you seeing increased rain or severity of storms in other parts of the United States?
Definitely. Yeah. In fact, we have also looked at data, not only projecting the future, but looking at data from the past to see whether storms might have changed. And one of our studies show that over the central United States, well, they have different kinds of storms. Their storms don't come in the wintertime like the storms that we have in the western United States. Their storms are mostly in the warm season, like in the spring and in the summer. What we found is that based on data in the last few decades, the storms have already been changing over that part of our country, where the warm season or summer storms have already been lasting longer and producing more extreme precipitation as well.
What would you like listeners to take away from your research?
Yeah, so I like the listeners to know that, well, we have these projections that are useful for planning in the future, and that this kind of information can be used when we think about how we might limit the emissions in the future, as well as how we might manage resources to better adapt to future changes.
What can we do at an individual level? What advice do you have when it comes to being best prepared for what you are forecasting, future stronger winter storms?
Yes, I think individually, I mean, definitely changing storms will affect our life, but having the knowledge that the storms will change can help us better prepare. So at both the individual level, but also, of course, at the level of water managers, right? So agencies and managers who can better plan for how to manage the reservoir. I mean, there's something, a certain level of work that we can do in order to manage the reservoir in a better way.
Finally, Dr. Leung, when you first started your career in into studying the climate, did you envision that you would be here now having this conversation?
Not quite. In fact, I started working on climate a few decades, what, two, 3 decades now, and definitely we try very hard to produce climate models, and we try to predict the future or project the future, but our climate models in the past were so coarse resolution that we wouldn't be able to say anything about like thunderstorms. But we are very happy that now with the technology changing, with bigger computers and our better understanding of the climate system, we are now at this stage where we can look at things that we weren't able to look at before, like thunderstorms.
Dr. Leung, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, yeah, for having me.
Ruby Leung is an atmospheric scientist at the Pacific Northwest National Laboratory, which is located in Washington State, explaining her new research about how winter storms in California will be wetter and more powerful in the future. Still ahead, we will speak with Benji Eagle, the SACB's food and beverage reporter, about Black-owned restaurants to visit and try in Sacramento in honor of Black History Month. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.